Our present life in this world is a battlefield. There is no time for spiritual ease and comfort, but only for constant wariness and preparedness. In our present society, where it seems the world welcomes us and gives us no trouble, this is easily forgotten. We are reminded, however, in Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12, that no matter what the age or society, the devil is at large and is waiting to destroy us. We read of this truth in these verses of Ephesians 6. But put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we must wrestle with the devil and his fallen host of angels, and that in order that we might above all stand faithful to our God. One cannot miss it. There is a certain urgency surrounding the command of our text. It is not a command to ignore. Ignoring it would result in dire consequences. We must put on the armor of God and make a stand in this evil day. The urgency of this command is given us in verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God's people are fighting a battle, a fierce, relentless battle against sin. And they fight that battle not simply from within, but sin that attacks us from without as well. The battle we carry on is a war not only within our sinful flesh, not only with the wicked, unbelieving world that surrounds us, but our fight is against a whole host of spiritual beings, we are told by Paul. We are warring against spiritual principalities and powers. We are in hand-to-hand combat with the rulers of darkness. These are our spiritual foes, and these we must know in order that we might fight them. Who are these powers of darkness to which the Apostle Paul refers in these verses, and of which we ought to be intensely aware? There's only one being out of them all that is identified for us by name in our text, and that is the devil, the end of verse 11, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We ought to take note of that fact, first of all. The Bible does not identify anywhere any fallen angel other than Satan. And that some try to identify other powers of darkness is wrong. And the vain invention of man's foolish and superstitious imagination. Satan is identified for us by name, however. And he is so because the devil or Satan stands at the top of the ranks of fallen angels. He is the prince of the power of the air, the most powerful, therefore, of all the rulers of darkness. It was that soon after his creation led a large part of the angelic world in rebellion against God, and that in order to usurp God's authority and seat. Ever since, Satan heads his host of fallen angels called devils in order to attempt to accomplish that same purpose. Now just think of that for a moment. We are in combat with the devil himself, the devil, whom we are told, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How are you fighting? Can you take on the strength, the prowess of the devil? Well, he is first of all and foremost our adversary. Each day of our lives we are called to battle against him or those who are under him. He looks us in the eye, and he defies us. And he defies the living God whom we serve. Now, that is just one of the foes that we fight. The mightiest of them, for sure, but only one. Already at this point, at least I begin to feel a bit helpless. But we must not forget the host of fallen angels that Satan has under his rule. These make up together with Satan the spiritual foes against which we are called to fight. And this passage here describes this host of devils in three ways. There are three matters it deals with as regards our enemy. First of all, this foe against which we war, we are told in verse 12, is made up of principalities and powers. These terms point out to us the fact that the devil's host is organized and powerful. It is made up of various ranks of demons. There are high-ranking devils who have authority over other devils, who in turn have authority over still other devils. All these devils are themselves very powerful. They have great strength and ability to fight a spiritual warfare. They are powers of darkness, who as their prince are much mightier than we. Secondly, we are told in our text, these fallen rulers are in fact the rulers of the darkness of this world, or literally, they are cosmic rulers of darkness. Now, we are not speaking here of the literal darkness of the night time, so that we must think of these devils only coming out at night and then fighting against us. This passage of God's Word speaks of spiritual darkness. You see, God is light, and everything that belongs to Him and proceeds from Him is light. That light is the shining forth of God's holiness and perfection. It is all that is good and right, while darkness is the opposite of light. It signifies all that which is evil and depraved. It is the lie as opposed to the truth, wrong as opposed to right. The enemy against which we fight is made up of those who rule and direct the evil and depravity of this world. They are the darkness of this world, the powers of darkness. And these powers persuade and lead sinful, unbelieving men to accomplish their evil designs and purposes. This world of darkness and unbelief is under the command of Satan and his host. Wicked, unbelieving man is Satan's ally. Finally, Paul describes the fallen angels as spiritual wickedness in high places. This description of these powers of darkness makes me shudder. You know, if I had to fight hand-to-hand an enemy I could see, I would be frightened enough. If I had to fight against flesh and blood, it would be disconcerting enough, especially if I knew that the man I fought against was bigger and stronger than I. But God's people are called to fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is to say, we must wage a warfare with depraved beings of a totally different dimension. Those belonging to a spiritual realm. These are beings, powerful and organized beings, that carry on their battle with us from a higher plane, an invisible realm, from high places. And when I think about fighting these spiritual powers of darkness, I begin to feel so utterly helpless. I mean, how do I fight them? What are they doing to destroy me? I cannot see their moves. So it's almost in panic that I start flailing my arms about battling at the air in a wild attempt to combat the foe. I feel so helpless. How can I possibly win in battle against such overwhelming odds? Now you understand the urgency of the command of these verses we are considering. We are weaklings, so frail in comparison to our foe. How will we be able to war against them? And yet war we must. But to battle the enemy, we must not only know who he is, but what is his method of warfare, his battle tactics as well. We are warned of this in the last part of verse 11. We must be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or literally, the methods that the devil uses. What are these methods? In the first place, they are highly spiritual. Satan and his host do not carry on a physical or even a visible battle with God's angels or with us. Many superstitious people, in their vivid imagination, claim to see both angels and devils locked in some kind of mortal combat with each other. There are books that are even out there that like to portray this kind of thing. That is not the method of warfare that Satan carries on. It is invisible and it's highly spiritual. Satan and his host of fallen angels are interested in our souls. Their desire is to draw us away from God and into the arms of this present world of darkness and unbelief. They do not want to kill us physically. They do not want to hack us in pieces and be rid of us. They want us to forsake the way of truth and right and join forces with them. So their intent is spiritual. They come to us from within and without in order to turn us from that which is good to do the evil. So our struggle against them is spiritual as well. In the second place, the method of achieving their goal is that of deceit and falsehood. The methods of Satan are sinfully shrewd, they're wiles. Such is the meaning of the name devil itself, it means liar. The power of darkness will use every means at his disposal to make the dark appear as light and the light seem as darkness. These powers will attempt to make evil look good to us and the good appear as evil. And they will do this through falsehood and deceit. Has God told you not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He knows that the day you eat it, you will be as God yourself, knowing good and evil. He says you will die? You will not die. Liar! But Satan succeeded, did he not? Adam and Eve were convinced and fell into sin, and the devil, who is the father of the lie, has continued his battle ever since. The same is true with us. New houses, property, luxuries, vacations, fun? These are not sin. On the contrary, these are the things that count. That's what matters. These will give you true joy and happiness in this life. Liar! But Satan succeeds so often, does he not? Fornication, greed, drunkenness, it's all innocent fun. And after all, it's very enjoyable. And what does it hurt you? Liar? But how often it is that our sinful flesh is attracted exactly to these things. You see, Satan is a deceiver. And we must be aware of the wiles of the devil, the shrewd methods of the devil, because he appeals to our sinful natures and truly makes the evil seem so good and desirable. At the same time, he makes serving God and being spiritually minded seem so boring and useless. One last reality we must be aware of concerning Satan's method of warfare. It is relentless. Our English translation cannot show it like the original does. Actually, the command of these verses is this: keep on putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to keep on standing against the wiles of the devil. And the reason we must keep on standing is because the devil and his hosts are constant in their warfare. They do not take a moment to sleep. They come at us from every conceivable angle, and at all times, we turn one way, they assail us from another way. We let our guards down for a moment, and they are on us. They do not give up. They throw at us constantly every trick in the book which they have written over the past 6,000 years. Satan, remember, is the prince of darkness. He reigns, therefore, over a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom where man is free to walk in sin. And it is his ultimate goal and purpose in all of this warfare against the church to usurp the kingdom of God and replace it with his kingdom of darkness. Now, Paul speaks of this warfare in terms of wrestling in our text. We have to wrestle. We all know what wrestling is. It's not standing a quarter mile away from a person and aiming a gun at him to shoot him. It's not even boxing, where we stand and dodge the blows of our assailant and deliver a few punches ourselves. Wrestling is grabbing hold of our foe and grappling with him arm in arm. It is pitting our strength against his in an attempt to throw him down and conquer him. Wrestling is personal confrontation, where we look the enemy right in the face and we smell his sweat. And with might and main, we try to subdue him. It is the greatest test of strength and endurance. That is the kind of warfare we are called to fight with the devil and the powers of darkness. Remember, we are not fighting against flesh and blood as we wrestle. This is not some physical fight we're having here. It has nothing to do with how physically fit you and I are. It has nothing to do whether we know karate or kung fu or are quick-witted or good at defending ourselves in a fist fight. How well are you doing in battling Satan and the powers of darkness in high places? Examine yourself. How strong are we in battle against our foes? How fit do we make ourselves spiritually? How much do we exercise ourselves in spiritual matters? How strong are we in prayer and in the Word of God? That truly is of the essence. Because I'll tell you something, Christian soldiers. We are fighting for our eternal life in this battle. We are fighting for our souls. And that is far more serious than any battle in earthly masteries. How dare we think that our life can be one in which we take our ease? That is the one thing so wrong with modern Christianity today, it seems. Salvation and belonging to Christ are made so easy. That is exactly one of the shrewd attacks of Satan himself, to make us think there is nothing to fight, that the Christian life is a breeze. All we have to say is that we believe in Jesus Christ and we can go on living like the wicked world. It doesn't matter. Satan wants us to feel at ease in Zion. Life can go on status quo. No battle with ourselves, no struggle against the temptations of the evil world, no need to defend ourselves. All is well. No, all is not well, as Satan would have us think. Do you imagine that the devil comes only boldly and openly to do battle with us? He is a deceiver. He comes undetected in what might even seem like the little things in life. You don't think so? He surely does. He is sly. He wants us to join those who believe the lie. He wants us to join hands with them in common cause, forgetting the truth, forgetting what makes us distinctive as believers. And he makes it sound so good, so right. Satan is so shrewd. Anything to get everyone together under the one throne of the kingdom of man, his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. Satan attacks us as far as our walk of life is concerned. He attacks us in the family. He attacks us in our relationships. He attacks us through our so-called friends and acquaintances. He attacks us in those moments that we are alone or when we are with friends. Do you see him? He attacks us in the area of recreation. He attacks us in the area of doctrine. We must wrestle and never underestimate the wiles of the devil. We must struggle. We must not grow weary against our foe. If we are spiritually lazy, then we will be taken in by the powers of darkness. Our life in this world is not a playground. It is a battlefield. Are you fighting? Or are you playing? This word of God to us is certainly not meant to discourage those who are truly fighting. I know to the true child of God who battles long and hard with his sin, these mighty foes seem invincible, but they are not. And that's why Paul enjoins us to put on the whole armor of God. Now, we surely do not have time in our broadcast today to describe each piece of this armor and its function. That's not the intent of these couple of verses that we consider anyway. But look briefly at that armor. In the verses that follow our passage that we consider today, it describes the spiritual armor we have to put on. And in those verses we find that we must be equipped with truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the Word of God. These make up our spiritual armor. All of these are necessary to defend ourselves against the attacks of the devil. And with these, we are able to wrestle the powers of darkness and are able to gain the victory. How is that possible? If we were to take a close look at all these pieces of our spiritual armor, they would lead us to one conclusion. We must put on Christ. Where is truth and righteousness to be found other than in the cross of Jesus Christ? Where can we find true peace? Where can we find faith and salvation other than in the cross of our Savior? What we need to fight this battle is Christ, because he it is that gives us the victory over our enemies. He already has accomplished the victory over those enemies. He accomplished it at the cross, because it was there at the cross that Christ Himself did battle with Satan. Satan attempted to kill the Christ through the hands of wicked men, but all he served to do was to bruise our Savior. But it was there at the cross of Jesus Christ that Christ crushed the head of the serpent, that is Satan. In order for us to fight the battle, we must take to ourselves the blessings of salvation that Christ has earned for us, and we must live in that salvation. We must constantly be asking God in prayer to give us the necessary strength to fight the battle of faith. That's the only way to wrestle with spiritual powers in high places. We must maintain the truth rigidly. We must detest all that is of the lie. We must regularly, in true sorrow, seek the forgiveness of sins at the foot of the cross. We must, in truth, cling to Christ, trusting in Him for all our strength. And then we go forth conquering our enemies with the Word of God. Ah, the special weapon of warfare, God's Word. This is in what we must exercise ourselves. If we are going to be able to be strong and stand against the mightiest of our foes, even Satan himself, we must equip ourselves with the Word of God. Then we will stand. Can we win this warfare? Surely not in ourselves. But when we are equipped with all that God has given us in Christ, we will be able to stand. And being able to stand, we will receive the victory too. So we fight. And we do not despair in that battle. We do not falter in that battle. But through the cross of Jesus Christ, we fight. And we win. We end with the victory cry of the believer, recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thanks be unto Thee for the victory that we have received in Christ. May we go forth fighting the good fight of faith and battling against our spiritual enemies. May we do that by clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. May we do that through Thy Word, which Thou hast given to us. Strengthen us, Father, in our faith, that we might go forth and be victorious over against our foes in Christ. Bless us, and where we stumble in that battle, forgive. We thank Thee for the cross and the forgiveness that we receive there, for Christ's sake. Amen.